From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. We're pleased and honored to have Danielle Leyva join us.
Hi.
Danielle's the coordinator for Family and Pastoral Ministries for the Diocese of Sacramento. Been here, what, 20, 30 years, something like that?
Approaching 2 months. So close, almost there.
So you were telling me you're finally getting your bearings.
Finally getting my bearings,
yeah. You know, left from right and
yes.
East from west.
Yes. Yeah, I'm getting there, getting my groove.
So what, describe your duties.
So
if you know them.
So I oversee pretty much everything related to the family. So a lot of it has to do with marriage preparation, marriage enrichment, help with troubled marriages and stuff like that, focus on NFP, some things that are happening just within the state, you know, initiatives that we can do to help respond to things like that. And then I also handle the other ministries like bereavement ministry, elderly ministry, deaf ministry, and whatnot.
Wow. So, for all 100 and...
Yeah.
Whatever parishes.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So do you reach out to the parishes? How does that work with all these different ministries? I mean, everybody doesn't have a bereavement ministry.
Right.
Everybody's not interested in NFP or is not, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
How do you juggle all that?
Right. So right now, it's really kind of just figuring out what we do have and what we know we have. And bereavement's a big one, you know, figuring out which, I think a big eye-opener was bereavement is not the same as consolation ministry. And so figuring out, you know, the parishes that offer that and then, you know, just learning from them what resources there are and seeing what resources we can better offer other parishes. So right now it's in the information gathering stage for me. And then, yes, it will transpire into the outreach and contacting parishes and providing resources, letting them know what resources we offer.
Do you not have to put chains on your car?
I don't, no. but four-wheel drive is a wonderful thing.
You get
thing.
Snow in Placerville.
We do get snow.
You've already gotten some this year.
Yeah, you know, it hasn't stopped me. Last winter, we got some snow, and I was able to make it up our hill. So, that was a good thing. Yeah.
So the difference between bereavement and consolation ministries.
Yeah, so some parishes do incorporate them, but a lot of the times the bereavement ministry helps the family with the funeral planning and the mass and everything like that. And then the consolation ministry is just, you know, a support, you know, in a way to help people who are grieving. Mm-hmm. So some parishes, it's a two for one, and others, the bereavement just helps them focus on planning that day and all the steps towards that, and they separate consolation.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we were having you on to talk about World Marriage Day, which is coming up on... this is not for people getting married. You could get married on World Marriage Day.
Yeah.
If you want to.
Can't get the bishop or the cathedral.
That's right. It's taken.
Yeah.
Saturday, February the 15th.
Yes.
11 a.m. Holy Mass with Bishop Soto, who will just have returned from Rome for this... had limited visits with the Pope, and it'll all take place at the cathedral, and then there'll be a small reception afterwards.
Yes.
Just and you want people that have, you know, have the landmarks, like been married 80 years.
Yeah,
I remember 1 year. I believe you had a couple that had been married like 73 years.
That's amazing. That's
pretty
beautiful. Yeah.
Pretty remarkable.
Yes, that is remarkable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. During the Mass, there is an opportunity for the sacramentally married couples to receive a blessing and also an opportunity for them to renew their marital commitment as well.
That's sacramentally. It doesn't mean you had to be married in Sacramento.
Right. just within the church. It's a sacramental marriage. And then the reception that follows afterward, that's where there are certificates for the couples that are celebrating their milestone anniversaries. And they're able to register on our website if they plan to come, and the reception's for the couples and their families. So.
And you want them to let you know so you can prepare the certificates.
Yeah, prepare the certificates, prepare the food, and everything. Have a good idea of how many people are coming. And then, yes, all the information for the certificates is on that registration form as well. So
very good.
We want to make sure we get all that right for you.
So who's behind World Marriage Day?
So we partner...
Florists?
Right. We partner with Worldwide Marriage Encounter and Encuentro Matrimonial. So they work really hard with us to... They handle the entire reception part. And then James Kavanaugh, who works up in liturgy, he handles the mass preparation and everything. And I just help make sure everything's, you know, we're all in communication and stuff like that. We also have a photographer coming who can take pictures of the couple with the bishop during the reception.
Oh, very good.
So lots of opportunities, and we really invite people to come.
And bring your family.
Bring your family, yeah. Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. So
yeah, it's for some people, one is a landmark year,
mm-hmm, but, yeah.
The strange thing today, it's not so much that people are getting married outside the church, it's that so many people aren't getting married at all.
Right, yeah.
And I'm not sure all the reasons, mm-hmm, for that, you know, mm-hmm, some of them aren't anti-religious,
right,
necessarily. It's just it's a different world than the one,
right,
I grew up in.
Yeah, yes.
I remember even as a little kid, people say, well, what do you want to do when you grow up? I said, I want to get married and have a whole bunch of kids. Mm-hmm. It was just sort of, and I was in a big family. And,
right, right.
And it was, and just had.
Something you wanted.
Yeah, mm-hmm, and have nothing but fond memories, mm-hmm, of my childhood.
Yes. Yeah.
There must have been some bad, I mean, you know, we, mm-hmm, we just all got along and fought and did everything, you know.
All the good stuff the family does.
Yeah, you know, yeah. And it, now it's so different.
Mm-hmm. It is. Know? It is. It's a different world for sure.
Yeah. Well, so what else are you working on this week?
Oh my goodness. Let's see. I am working on, we have a specialization that we're trying to work on for marriage and family, just to help, you know, people who serve in marriage ministry, marriage preparation and stuff like that. That's a big project. And then we're also just collaborating on ways to address this new California Healthy Youth Act that came out, which is mandated in public and charter schools for a comprehensive sexual education.
Right. All the way down to second grade.
Yes.
Possibly.
Yes.
Depending on which, there's some local option in terms of individual school boards deciding where in there, but it does allow it down to second grade, which is
exactly.
Like, oh my goodness.
And the children are automatically opted in, and it's a process to opt your child out, and it's just, I don't know how many parents, we just don't know how they
you
know about
some people mistake the opt in, opt, mm-hmm, out, you know, it's I can remember with my kids a few years ago, it wasn't sex ed, it was something else. It was like they were going to fingerprint the kids, and then that was going to scan for their lunch or something.
Oh wow!
You know, and it was like it wasn't in a Catholic school, and mm-hmm, and I remember talking to the principal and saying, our son, I think, was in the first grade. You know, mm-hmm, and I said, I don't like this idea that he's a thumbprint or he's a number or he's
right,
he's a this. You know, I mean, you're not calling by his name, and
yes,
here he is. Okay, we know you're Mick, you can get your corn dog, you know?
Yes.
And and he said, well, you can always opt out. And I go, no, it should be the other way around.
Right. If you'd like
know,
to be
if you'd like this for some, mm-hmm, reason, we're offering it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think sex ed should be the same way. I mean,
absolutely,
there are some sex ed programs that are fine.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's not like the church has its head in the sand and says we're going to ignore anything that has to do with sex. Mm-hmm. But so many of those things are best handled by parents.
Well, exactly.
And some of us parents sometimes don't handle them real well.
Right.
But we try.
Yeah, yeah. So we're working really hard collaborating with the schools and Catholic Charity, the social concerns and everything like that. And so it's a big collaborative effort, and we're definitely just trying to find ways to be ahead of it and be responsive. That way we can help provide families alternatives to things like the curriculum that they can opt their child out of.
Yeah. So. And you're right. It gets not only is it a process, but there's sort of a stigma involved. Oh, we're going to put you in the library for half an hour or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you want to review the materials, you have to go to the district office.
Yeah.
And it's, how many parents have time to do that? You know, it's a process, and they make it difficult sometimes.
Have we seen what the curriculum is?
Yes. So this has been in effect for 2 years, and they just released the curriculum. I'm not sure exactly when, but I think it was around the summertime. And that's what has prompted this big collaboration. So as soon as it was released, we've reviewed it, and we started planning steps to respond to it. So,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a sad thing. I read through it, and it's just a lot. It's a lot that I didn't have to deal with.
You know, all the stuff going on these days with, not just with the change in marriage and the change in family and gender issues and all that. And I sometimes think the public schools are between a rock and a hard spot.
Yeah.
Because there's so many, I don't know, pressure groups and lobbying mm-hmm. groups saying, oh, you can't say this, you can't term somebody this, or mm-hmm. you can't, you know, to the point where they don't know what...
Everything's taboo.
Everything's taboo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
It's so sad.
My kids will tell me, well, that word, Dad. I go, really? Really?
Yeah.
If I said, you guys, it's like, offensive?
Yeah.
It's not really offensive, is it? I was just kind of
just
like,
generalizing.
Hey, you guys, you want to go to the store? You know, the store part was okay, but.
Yeah, the store part was okay.
Yeah. Unless they were selling some product. Mm.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have four teenagers at home, and I'm real happy that they're so involved.
Mm-hmm.
And so aware,
mm-hmm.
and all that,
yeah.
But you know, it's one has decided for moral reasons to be vegan,
mm.
you know, mm-hmm. and which is different than vegetarian,
right?
Oh man,
it's a big difference.
Whoa, there's no eggs, which means right. there's no mayonnaise, which means
lot.
There's no cheese, there's no, you know, I remember. As a newspaper writer, being vegetarian as something to write about,
right.
you know, for a month, and it was a number of years ago, and I gained about 20 pounds in a month because I was eating macaroni and cheese and salted
yep.
cashews,
yeah.
and all the good stuff,
yes.
you know.
Yes.
And but boy, vegan is tough. But mm-hmm. she says, you know, I really think that. You know, we're not treating animals right.
Mm.
And this was the meat lover in the family.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, and
yes.
she just, it was hard for her to give it up. But, mm-hmm. You know, and I'm proud of them for making that
right.
that kind of commitment.
Yeah.
But it it makes mealtime difficult.
I believe it.
Or you go out in a restaurant, you know,
yes.
and the poor waiter is getting
mm-hmm.
getting grilled.
Yes.
You know, like
yeah,
because many of them don't know the difference between vegan and vegetarian.
Right.
And
they
they'll put you know, they'll eat the Impossible Burger, but they put butter on the bun or
yeah.
or the bun's made with mm-hmm. butter or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a tough world.
Yeah, that is. That's a big commitment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know. Good for her.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, it was internally generated,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's a parent's duty to discuss why are you doing this?
Yeah.
You know, are you getting enough of X, Y, and Z?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you healthy? Are you taking care of yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And what are your reasons for are they based on fact?
Right. You know? And I think that's so important because so many times we don't ask children why, you know, because
yeah.
it's, you need to know for yourself, not because someone else is doing, not for this. It's, are you convicted in this for yourself or
right.
are you just, you know, do you
or
know
you go
everything?
Or you're going with the crowd
exactly.
or did you get onto a bad website, which really is fake news?
Right.
You know, where, I mean, because there's, everybody's an author now
mm-hmm.
and people repost stuff
mm-hmm.
without, and it looks legit and
yeah.
there's even pictures and, mm-hmm. you know, and.
Yeah.
And you're going, wow! I didn't realize there were people living on Mars, you know. But there's
yeah,
a picture
yeah.
of them, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's mm-hmm. it's challenging.
Yeah, it
Why
is.
Do you have teenagers?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I know.
Because you want them, you know. I mean, they're God's gift.
Mm-hmm.
They
Absolutely.
Are. But you want them to be their own people,
mm-hmm.
and you don't want them to just follow the crowd, no mm-hmm. matter which way the crowd's going.
Yes.
And I think the number one thing, and this is your line of work,
mm-hmm.
that we can give them as parents
Absolutely.
Is a belief in God.
Absolutely.
A belief in Christ. Every time somebody has a problem or we get worried about world
mm-hmm.
issues,
mm-hmm.
I say, you know, God's in charge.
Mm-hmm.
God's in charge.
Yeah.
You know, it may not seem like it sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But all these, well, what if this happens? What if this happens?
Yeah.
And all the latest stuff was, I mean, we're going to get, I mean, that's scary stuff. It's scary stuff for adults. It's scary
mm-hmm.
for kids,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, Danielle, always a pleasure to
Thank
talk
you.
With you.
Yeah, you too.
You're a veteran now.
Yeah, I guess so. You're my second time on, so I'm officially initiated.
Yeah, so we'll look forward to talking again soon.
Thank you.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
This is Lincoln Snyder, Superintendent of Catholic Schools, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Lincoln. Thanks for all you do for our great Catholic schools here in the Diocese of Sacramento. Again, World Marriage Day, Saturday, February 15, 11 a.m., Holy Mass with Bishop Soto at the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament, 1017 11th Street, right here in downtown Sacramento. You're invited to join as we honor marriage and salute the beauty of faithfulness, sacrifice, and joy in married life. During this Mass, there will be a special blessing for sacramentally married couples and an opportunity for them to renew their marital commitment. An informal reception will follow for couples and their families, an opportunity to take a picture with the Bishop Soto. And special certificates will be distributed at the reception honoring couples celebrating milestone anniversaries, 10, 25, 50, etc. If you plan to attend, they'd like you to register so they can make your certificate. But you don't have to, it doesn't have to be a milestone one. And everyone, or your family, of course, is invited to come. Go to scd.org/WMD, which is World Marriage Day, not Weapons of Mass Destruction.
Some might agree that it's both. You never know.
That, you hear that. You hear politicians talking about WMD all the time. Yeah.
Right.
They need a new initial.
It's funny is how that
World Marriage Day,
how that whole thing becomes something that is, like everything is abbreviated nowadays. Everything's a WMD or a POTUS or
it's become, yeah, but it becomes a word, you know,
right.
like POTUS. People, what are they talking about?
Well, the WMDs,
of the United States.
WMDs, they're putting an apostrophe S or an S at the end of an abbreviation. That makes it a word if you do it that way.
Yeah.
I know. Must drive you nuts, being that you're a very stickler for English composition.
USSC, what is that?
Right.
Is that the USCCB? Is that the bishops? No, the United States Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah, there's that one.
I like it when people call them the Supremes. It's perfect. You could see them doing a little dance routine, a little song and dance.
Yeah. Well, it was like Ruth and the Supremes.
Yeah.
So I was going to remind everybody that the new year's coming up, that we are, our website, the diocesan website, plays our show daily, and there's usually a backlog of about a week on there. So scd.org, and then you can go to iTunes and Google Play Podcasts, I believe Spotify too, and also podbean.com, mm-hmm. and you can find the Sacramento Bishop's Hour,
and you can listen to it
whenever you
when
want.
When it's convenient to you.
Right.
If you insist on listening to the radio, 9 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 10 a.m. on Saturday morning, we do
right.
our best stuff. And that's fine, but you can listen online, and it's just great. And if, you know, maybe you heard it once, and you're saying, did they really say that?
Yes, are highly controversial. You don't know what we might say, but no, yeah, and that's the thing is you can listen to it on Google Plus or Google Play or iTunes, and the nice thing about that is let's say you are on the social medias and you you want maybe one of your friends to hear an interview that Bob has, like we have Reverend Kennard Childress coming up here soon today, and let's say you want people to hear them,
yeah.
and they didn't get a chance to hear it on the radio or what have you. You can share the actual link to that show
right.
off of that podcast,
and everything's
platform.
Free. You're not paying for. You're not subscribing.
You are subscribing.
Subscribing, but it's
free, but you're not paying.
You're not paying,
and they're not going to bother you with emails and pop-ups right. and all that. What it is, what the subscription does when you go into like the iTunes subscription, you subscribe to the podcast. All it does is when you open that app, it'll tell you how many unplayed episodes you have since you subscribe. It's not going to give you 300 in the backlog. It's going to say, okay, well, you subscribed on the 9th. You have the 9th, and then tomorrow the 10th will pop up. So if you want to catch up, it's, you know, an hour show. You want to catch up over the weekend, you can listen to a few and kind of binge listen to the Bishop's Hour.
And we also would like to repeat, which we do every now and then, if you have something coming up, if you have something going on, for instance, email the other day that Jason Everett will be speaking March the 1st from 7 to 9 p.m. at St. Patrick's St. Vincent High School gym in Vallejo. We'll give you more information on that as it gets closer. But just if you've got something like that happening, sometimes people will say, you know, I hear you make these announcements for these various things going on. If you haven't announced our deal, and I go, well, there's 100 and some parishes. And we would love to hear if you're having a festival or
right.
if you're having a speaker, if you're having a parish mission. Anything that's going on, something special, maybe a 100th anniversary or 50th anniversary of your parish, let us know, and because we would love to get somebody on the air to talk about it a little bit. We have some great historic parishes in this diocese.
Well, I was thinking, actually, we talked about this the other day in a meeting we were having, and I was thinking about it. A lot of times people will say to us, like, I've heard it before, like, oh, you didn't hear about this yet?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, oh, well, I spoke to so-and-so at the admin office. Admin doesn't necessarily give yeah. us notes as to what's going on. So if you want something on the radio, we don't necessarily get notes from it because they're busy doing their stuff. They're approving or they're doing whatever they're doing. It doesn't always dawn on them to let us know. We see flyers around the pastoral center here where we broadcast from, and we'll grab them and we talk to people and we hear things from people. But most of the stuff that we get on the air like that is either something that's been communicated on the website or an email we get or a phone call we get. So if it's something you want to get on the air, then please do, because we have over 100 parishes. If every one of those parishes contacted us and wanted us to get something on the air, we'd have 100 announcements that day. I mean, that's the way we
yeah.
do it.
We are not known for saying no.
I don't think we've said no yet.
Yeah.
No. I mean, well, I mean, some people, but I mean, you know,
yeah.
not ones that you would, not anything that would matter to the diocese.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many, you know, maybe your parish is having has a unique ministry that is a little different than what everybody else has. Maybe you've got a student that did some fabulous thing, you know, is doing some great community project or won the National Spelling Bee or whatever.
Right.
We'd just love to have them on because it's just that's why we're here.
Well, Bob and I are really big sports fans too, and it's one of those things where we get stuff where people say, like, hey, you know, I my kid's involved in this sport and no one ever covers badminton or mm-hmm. lacrosse enough or what have you, and or like you said, spelling bee, stuff that isn't necessarily athletic but still competitive. You know, we've had
right.
people in here who've won debate competitions. And it's like one of those things where it's like a lot of those kids work really, really hard, but they don't get the recognition that they deserve. And not everybody can play football, but it doesn't mean you can't get covered like you do. Yeah. So if you got a kid who's doing something, or a team, or one activity at a school that you know about, or if you work at the school, maybe you're the coordinator of that thing, call us. We'd love to have it on. We love showing off the diversity of what Catholic schools can do and the diversity of the kids in the schools. I mean, it's great.
Interesting because somebody who's not involved with St. Francis, doesn't have a kid going there or anything like that, said that the best show in town is St. Francis volleyball. You know? I didn't know that. You know? Yeah. So you got to do it. You got to go to a St. Francis volleyball game. It's great stuff.
There you go. See, that's what we're talking about. That kind of stuff, just to get a mention. And I've gotten emails before, like, hey, Gabe, this is a thing we have coming up. I don't want to come on the air about it, but can you at least have Bob read it? Mm-hmm. And we get that all the time, and that's fine. We're happy to put reads on. Bob can read it. If you're shy about coming on the radio, that's understandable. We get it. So doesn't mean that you can't promote what you want to promote. We can do it for you. So
if you go to the website, all of Gabe's contact information is there. All of my contact information is there.
It's radio@scd.org. So it's radio@scd, SCD as in Sacramento Catholic Diocese.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you give us a call or send us an email. Probably an email is the best way because emails are up 24 hours a day.
Right. I mean, I don't necessarily check them when I'm not here, but I do check them when I'm here, and I do react to them when I'm here. And, you know, or call. I mean, if you do feel the need to call, I do a lot of phone calls with booking people. 916-733-0107 is the office here. You can always call the office and talk to us. And even if you get lost that and you happen to call Relevant Radio, I've been transferred phone calls from Relevant Radio, even though we're not in the same building or the same anything as them. We are on their network, so if they get a phone call for us there, they will redirect it to us or at least give us the message. So there's a million and one ways to get a hold of us.
Yeah, and if you want to send a pound of See's chocolates,
right,
send them to me, not Gabe.
Right, okay. Diocese of Sacramento, care of Bob Dunning. Yes, and yeah, for sure. We do take gifts, though. That's true. Not that that would get you on the air quicker, but it definitely wouldn't hurt. Yeah. But no, we want to do that. And just, we were gone the end of the year. So I also just wanted to come on and say Happy New Year. And hopefully we have another amazing year ahead of us.
And the other thing that you want to hear from people, sometimes people, I forget where I was hearing, it was either a show or maybe it was an article, but it was people were talking about their favorite saint. And
yeah,
there were a couple of saints that were mentioned that I had never heard of, and we'd love to hear from that kind of say, why don't you do a segment on Saint so and so?
Right.
There are a lot of very familiar saints for good reasons, and very popular saints for good reasons, but there are a lot of quote unquote obscure saints. Well, a saint's a saint,
right?
You know, and we'd love to do stories. As a priest in New York, wrote a book about the saints, you know, and just fascinating stuff.
Not Drew Brees?
Not Drew Brees.
No, okay.
No.
Okay.
He's out, man. They're done.
I know. Is he retiring?
No.
No? Yeah, I just heard yesterday Tom Brady says he's not going to retire either.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. They never, you know. Pro football will end if Drew Brees and Tom Brady drop. Didn't Tom Brady go to your high school?
No, his sisters did. Tom Brady went to Sarah High School, which was the private school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he went to the Catholic school. Yeah, and he. But we all grew up in the same neighborhood. I went to high school with his sister Nancy, and I graduated together.
Were you a better football player than he was?
I mean, I was an offensive lineman, so I was way more important than he was. Yeah. And
were
in
you
high
a better
school,
football player than Nancy was?
No,
no,
no. That's the funny thing about that family. His sister Nancy and Maureen are way more athletic than Tom. Yeah, they both every year they were pitchers in softball. Every year they would strike out our men's baseball teams, varsity and softball. And they would compete for perfect game records.
Yeah,
like who had the most perfect games? Yeah. Yeah, who
not
had the
just
most
one in your whole career?
No, who had the most in a season?
Yeah,
yeah, they were unbelievable.
Somebody who knows how to pitch softball, the big wind up.
Yeah. throwing curveballs a lot.
Unhittable.
Yeah.
It's 45 feet to begin with instead of 60 feet. I remember there used to be a guy named, I think it was, his name was Eddie Fainter, but it was called The King and His Court. And he would go around and do exhibitions against major league players, or maybe against the like people like the River Cats.
Yeah,
the
double A ball.
Yeah, and he had like he had a first baseman and one other infielder and one outfielder, and that was it, and a catcher who probably didn't have a hand left.
Right. Yeah.
And he said he could pitch an entire game like 60, 70 pitches without throwing the same pitch twice. And they just could not hit him.
Yeah,
that thing. I remember playing intramurals in college. It was all slow pitch, but the champion from Davis, UC Davis, would play the champion from Berkeley. Hmm. And Berkeley played fast pitch.
Okay,
and so the problem was is when you paired off against Berkeley, it was going to be fast pitch.
Ah.
And you were allowed, because we were all playing slow pitch, you were allowed to find somebody on the campus who could do fast pitch, you know, because there are a few people hanging around.
Right.
And that could be your pitcher. Otherwise, you had to keep the same roster.
Okay.
And it was mind-boggling. I was a third baseman.
Yeah.
And I was used to standing pretty near the bag, you know, the hot corner.
Right.
And he kept waving me in. During practice, he says, you got to get in closer. You got to get in closer because they're going to bunt you to death.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way they're going to hit me is with a bunt.
Right.
They're never going to get the bat around.
Makes sense.
And he said, if they get the bat around, I will be dead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He wanted me closer than he was.
Yeah, it's even hotter corner at that point.
Yeah, he wanted me about 40 feet.
Yeah, you know the thing about physics. That thing's coming in at 80. It's going out at 90. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah,
that's funny.
And then you're just seeing the fast pitch come at you.
Oh, it's and when it rises, it looks like it's going to hit you right in the face, but it doesn't even get anywhere near you, but it looks like it's going to.
Yeah. I mean, you'll see that in college, collegiate softball, a lot of 1-0 games.
Yeah.
And usually one is the pitcher who's throwing the perfect game is also hit a home run.
Right, yeah. For sure. Yeah, those two were pretty impressive. Nancy now runs his foundation.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and I think Maureen is one of his publicists. Oh. Yeah, he keeps his family involved. Despite what a lot of people might think about Tom Brady because of all the controversy with the Patriots, Tom's a really good guy. He's a very, very nice guy.
Well, he comes across that way.
Yeah, he does. But, you know, everyone's got the Patriots. Oh, yeah. Everyone's got the Patriot hatred. But, yeah, no, Brady's he's a good guy. And he's always – everyone I went to high school with, everybody's got their kids got pictures with them whenever he comes into town.
And Sarah is in San Mateo?
Sarah's in San Mateo. Oh. It's actually right between our high school and our rival high school, the Aragon High School. They're about a mile between each other and right half mile in between.
Did they end up playing each other?
No, we don't know.
Because you're in different leagues.
Yeah, they're totally different leagues.
Are they a strictly Catholic league?
I don't know if it's strictly Catholic, but I know it is strictly private schools.
Yeah,
I don't know if in the Bay Area.
Marin Catholic. You've got.
Yeah. They played a lot. I think they played De La Salle, De Anza. I think they played De Anza a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean they played a lot of private schools. I don't remember if it was all Catholic, but
Bishop
it was.
Dowd.
Yeah,
there are a lot in the Bay Area.
Yeah, and they did travel a good amount, so they probably did because there's not a lot within that proper, right. You know, San Mateo. You have to go across the East Bay and things like that a lot. But yeah, they were nothing special. I don't think when he was there. I don't think he was nothing special when he came out of college. I mean, he almost got cut.
I think he was a fifth, sixth round draft.
Seventh round. Yeah, because there's a whole documentary about how he still to this day will play those seven teams that passed him up even harder because he wants to stick it in their face. Yeah. He's that much of a competitor. But yeah. But anyway, yeah, Bishop's Hour podcast. Don't forget that. Subscribe. You can hear all everything we talk about all the time.
Well, you know, a lot of the Catholic schools, we associate them with citizenship, community service. And for some of us, especially people in Southern California, the modern day Bishop Gorman in Las Vegas, Moeller in Cincinnati, the head coach of Moeller Catholic School in Cincinnati went from being the head coach at Moeller to being the head coach overnight at Notre Dame.
Nice stepping stone.
That's boom.
Yeah, that's a nice stepping
Jerry
stone.
Jerry Faust.
Yeah.
Everybody went, you're doing what? You're hiring at where Newt Rockne coached?
Yeah.
Aaron Parsegian?
Not even to be a coordinator. You mean the head coach.
He's going from being a high school coach to the head coach at Notre Dame.
I mean, hey, I mean, look at even the colleges. Gonzaga is consistently in there.
They're number one ranked in basketball, right?
Yeah, consistently. In the country. Always in the tournament. Since I was in high school. They're always in the tournament.
Yeah.
I had a friend, she played volleyball there.
You know, I mean, Spokane's a nice city, but it's cold in the winter.
Right.
It's in a remote part of Washington.
That's why indoor sports.
Yeah, but still, there aren't enough kids in Spokane to fuel the Gonzaga basketball team to be number one in the country against Duke and everybody else, Kentucky.
North Carolina, all that,
North Carolina, all the big powers. And but somehow he convinces the kids to go to school there, and he's a heck of a coach. It's a beautiful campus.
Yeah, a friend, she played volleyball there. She said it was amazing.
Yeah. I've covered a game or two there, a basketball game, and they've got it going. So anyway, go to scd.org and click on the Bishop's Hour, and that's how you can listen to us, or that's how you can contact us. We'll take a quick break, back with Reverend Clenard Childress, who will be speaking at the Walk for Life in San Francisco a couple of weeks from now. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
This is Lincoln Snyder, Superintendent of Catholic Schools, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Lincoln. Thanks for that. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. We go all the way to the great state of New Jersey, and we're joined by the Reverend Clenard Childress. Reverend, good day to you.
Oh, thank you very much for having me, and it is a good day so far.
Awfully good to hear your voice again, and I've said several times on air that you're the only guy that they have at the Walk for Life speaking to the rally that doesn't need a microphone.
Well, I appreciate that, Jesse. So it works well, and it's certainly an event that is one I look forward to being with, and it's just one of the greatest events in the pro-life arena.
Yes, indeed. Have you made all of them?
No, I think I missed one or two, and but, like I said, the San Francisco Walk for Life is always a place in my heart, especially the first one where there were as many protesters as there was us.
Right, right. That doesn't happen much anymore.
No, they stood their ground, they made a statement, and of course we're walking in truth. So it is something that I think that they had yielded, that they weren't going to, we weren't going to be intimidated. I was just speaking about it the other day during the heat of that battle on the first one, and we were being pelted with who knows what. The students started singing Abba Maria.
Oh, well.
Yes, I could feel the presence of God around in the street as we walked. It was very powerful. And I said to myself, that must have, how it was, must have been the same way when in the civil rights movement,
mm-hmm.
and then singing We Shall Overcome.
I remember it well.
In the midst of hostilities. And it just really was a serene peace in the midst of all that chaos. Never will forget it, and certainly Walk for Life San Francisco is a needed event and a special event.
Tell us how you got involved in the pro-life movement.
Well, a young Irish Catholic activist stopped one of my teenage parishioners, thought she was going into the clinic. She was just walking home. And actually, my youth director now, Sifa Brown, told Christine Flaherty that my pastor has already explained to me about the evils of abortion, and which incited Chris to want to meet me, and he came knocking on the door without an appointment, and he had to speak to me, and we had a great conversation, and asked me that I wanted to be more involved. And, you know, I always considered myself pro-life, but as I got more engaged in the movement, they sent me to Virginia Beach, through the Life Education and Resource Network, the largest African-American pro-life network in the country. I knew nothing about them, but then I heard the story told by Akua Farrow of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, the Negro Project.
Right.
It was overwhelming. So we just decided from that point we would begin to do more, and it just incrementally grew.
Wow. Well, so are we making progress?
Absolutely. What are you talking about? It's
not I just wanted to get you fired up.
Not at the rate we would like, of course.
Right.
We've got to be objective and step back and look. Unquestionably, I always say my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge and because of media today, because of programs like this, because of, you know, a consistent effort, the information getting out more, and the people are more increasingly becoming in the position of being pro-life. And certainly, their values and views on the issue are not those that were expressed by the Democratic candidates, where you had at one time 24 all endorsing infanticide. That was shocking to me. I think this has really come to a point now. You really have to decide whose side are you on here when it comes to morals and values. That was just so blatantly horrific to me, but it hurt them, and I think it caused the public to really look at it a little more, not everybody, but more so, and the more people look at it and see what it is, with the help of James O'Keefe and David DeLion, their investigative work, the insidiousness of Planned Parenthood, we're just coming to a good point where we really will be able to challenge Roe versus Wade because of this president being the most pro-life president in our history. Facts are what they are. And the judges that are being appointed and his strong position on it. Now, I'm not talking about his bedside manner, but I'm just saying his strong position on the issue has been extremely helpful. And this is going to, I believe, in During his term, I think this really gets to the Supreme Court, and we really see it being struck down and going back to the state, which means I still have my work cut out for me because New Jersey is already making arrangements just for that to happen.
Yeah, we have to realize that when and if Roe v. Wade is overturned, which it may be, it may not be, it could be partially, a lot of things could happen there, but if it is, if the court says no, it's unconstitutional based on whatever the court decides, and that's the final arbiter, at least of human beings, in this country, is the Supreme Court. Then it does go back to the states. It doesn't end abortion. It goes back to the states, and it's up to each individual state to decide. It doesn't ban abortion. It just says the only way you're going to ban abortion is through a human life amendment to the Constitution. And, boy, there's a very, very high bar to get a constitutional amendment passed.
Absolutely. And so I think that's okay. Why? Because it should be, this isn't wrong for 5 judges to implement this. I don't think judges should be the final arbiter, spiritually. I think abortion should be unconscionable in the minds of the society. And I would love it to be where the people have just said, we have sinned, and we need the right to wrong.
Yeah, amen to that. I always feel that the courts, the legislature, the administration, et cetera, they should follow the people, and generally that's the way it works. Sometimes it takes a real critical mass before they start paying attention to us. But wouldn't it be wonderful that you didn't even need to have a law against it because nobody wants to do it,
Absolutely, absolutely. That's where the church has to remember that mandate has been given more to us as the people of God than it is to our secular legislators and government. So we really have to stay fervent. We have to be engaged. We have to see ourselves as activists for social justice. And this last segment of our society that's been denied access to the American dream is on our watch. So we have to do something about that.
Yeah, they're the last group that has been the one that was left behind by the civil rights movement.
Yes, absolutely. Which makes, as I often say, the pro-life movement the true civil rights movement of our day. And it is something that we should take seriously and recognize that this is our mandate, charge for God.
Reverend, why is, in your opinion, the abortion rate higher in the African-American community?
Well, it was certainly marketed to the African-American community. There's no question about that. My Alpha 21, Mark Crutcher, did a very exhaustive study on that and empirically proves it. It was marketed. African-American community was targeted. And, Margaret Sanger is a brilliant strategist. She realized she had to appeal to the African-American community, not only legislatively, which they did later, but through the minister, which was so highly regarded in the African-American community. By the way, more than any ethnicity or group, the African-American preacher is held in higher esteem. Mm-hmm. So she bribed them, and they began to infiltrate W.E. Du Bois. He wasn't a minister, but he wasn't, he was an advocate for people of color, and they bribed him, and the NAACP, he began to, she's very wise, very smart, and sure enough, as things began to erode, it became acceptable, and especially once it became legal. And so, therefore, it continued her plan. I spoke earlier about the Negro Project, where she planned to make sterilization as well as abortion, a vital part of the African-American community.
How come people don't know more about that, which is about one step from genocide?
Well, it's very well hidden. how can you explain in this day of political correctness someone receiving the Margaret Sanger Award when there's so much history to prove the racist comments that she has made? I mean, people are getting fired for a lot less, and statues are coming down for a lot less, and I do mean that, for a lot less. And yet, her name is still being heralded. Hillary Clinton just received the award, I think it was last year or just recently, and it's something we need to recognize how powerful propaganda can be, how powerful academia chooses to protect their icons, and how seriously insidious this really is, that we can't break that barrier. It's evil. There's only one explanation for that, and it takes the right to deal with evil.
We're talking with Reverend Clenard Childress from New Jersey, and he will be the keynote speaker at the Walk for Life West Coast the 25th of January. It's a Saturday. The rally begins at 12:30, but there's all kinds of things going on ahead of that. If you get there a little bit early, it's at Civic Center Plaza in the great city of San Francisco, the city of Saint, named after St. Francis. Reverend, what's your message going to be this year?
Well, to be honest with you, I really never know per se, but certainly there's one of encouragement that we can look and see that this is a special time for the pro-life movement to be as fervent as they've ever been before. Let's look back at the successes, but know that we have another ways to go, but we're close. And certainly the data and the polling proves that, and that we should be encouraged about the president, so far in his support of their efforts. We should be, no matter where we live, vehement. We should be vocal. And certainly in any study of social justice, there has to be activism to basically turn the corner and bring government legislative table, and we can right the wrongs. But it's their love, it's their faithfulness, and their fortitude that has brought it to this point, and they're to be applauded and certainly heralded for that. And so we're getting there. I'm excited about coming, and certainly the walk itself sends a strong message, where San Francisco is considered the bastion of liberality, all that. You have the people of faith walking for those who have been denied access to the American dream.
Do you have you ever attended the March for Life in Washington?
Yes, I have. A lot of times, scheduling-wise, I can't be there.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? Yeah.
But, yes, I have. And the one thing about San Francisco is, March, I must say, it's very pure, very God-conscious. And certainly the atmosphere is far more spiritually uplifting in my estimation. So it's a special walk. It's a special people that have organized it. And Dolores, they're special people, and they certainly have seen it grow and be a witness, and that's very powerful.
Yeah, Dolores Meehan and Eva Montaigne, they've just been stalwarts right from the beginning.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Reverend, always a pleasure to talk with you, and we'll look forward to seeing you in San Francisco in a couple of weeks.
Absolutely. Keep me in prayer, as I will you, and we're looking for an awesome time.
Your prayers are assured, and we appreciate your prayers as well.
Thank you.
Thanks, Reverend. God bless. That's Reverend Clenard Childress. Who will be one of the featured speakers at the Walk for Life West Coast, the 16th annual Walk for Life West Coast. If you want any information on it, contact Cindy Northen, who is the publicist for Walk for Life West Coast. She's at 239-986-3780, Saturday, January 25th. People are coming from all over and they just call it used to be Walk for Life West Coast. Now it's just Walk for Life. 16th annual Walk for Life. I'm still going to call it Walk for Life West Coast. First speaker will be Father Frank Pavone, who's dedicated his life to the pro-life movement, the director of Priests for Life, which was founded in 1990 in San Francisco. Father Frank has tirelessly spread the pro-life message to all 50 states as well as five continents. For the first time this year will be Kathleen Folan, a wife and mother. She holds a degree in philosophy from the University of San Francisco, has a very inspirational story of faith, hope, and a willingness to appreciate God's blessings. It's been shared in the National Catholic Register. She currently serves as a director of family and youth ministry at St. Dominic's Church right there in San Francisco. And finally, walkers will be inspired by the soaring oratory of our good friend, Reverend Clennard Howard Childress, Jr. Haven't met Senior. He's spoken at virtually all of them, and we just talked to him. He's senior pastor at New Calvary Church in Montclair, New Jersey, and founder of BlackGenocide.org. He's a really, really dynamic guy. The rally, there are a lot of booths with all kinds of literature and things like that for various causes around the pro-life movement that gets set up fairly early in the morning. But the rally itself starts at 12:30 p.m. at Civic Center Plaza, lasts just about an hour, and then everybody walks down Market Street to Justin Herman Plaza. And there don't seem to be any protests anymore. As the Reverend talked about in the early going, there were a few protests, but it's a great family event now. A lot of kids come, a lot of high school kids come, a lot of young adults. It's people bring the banner from their parish and march as a parish. Some of them do. It's great to see people from far away. They've driven all night maybe to get there. It's great if you can take a bus with your parish, but if you can't, there is literally tons of parties. You think, oh, it's just going to be a zoo. San Francisco is notorious for finding a place to park is pretty hard. Well, the Civic Center Plaza has a massive underground parking lot. I usually go down with one of my teenage daughters, or sometimes two or three, and never had a problem. Just sailed right into the city and just parked under Civic Center Plaza very, very easily and at a very reasonable rate, enjoyed the rally and enjoyed the day. And if you, I know a number of hotels down there also offer special rates if you want to go down and spend maybe Friday night ahead of the rally, or Friday and Saturday, or Saturday night after the rally. So just a lot that you can do there. Walk for Life West Coast, January 25th, Saturday in San Francisco. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless.
Empty hands held high, such small sacrifice. If not joined with my life, I sing in vain tonight. May the word